I'm so nervous. Oh my gosh.
I'm a singer, I'm not a talker. So this is not going to be overly scholarly, but it will be a little bit of sharing, just a little bit of sharing from my heart. And I must tell you, so I stayed up last night and I added some great stuff to this talk. It's a doozy of a talk, except I didn't save it. So it's in my head, it's not on my page. So here goes nothing. I wanted to entitle this Preparing the Way of Peace. And in thinking about this and preparing for this day, I started to think about what were the words that we associate with the word peace. So since I don't have my notes anymore, you're gonna have to help me. Just call out some of the words that you associate with that word peace.
Kindness.
Plenty.
Contentment.
Tranquility. Order.
Yes. Joy. Forgiveness.
Serenity.
Peace is what I call a pretty active word. In fact, if you will allow me to label it instead of just peace, maybe active peace. I'm borrowing that word today in solidarity and in protest to the violence that has happened this past week and that continues to happen in so many people's lives, that word active. We now have a new word in our vocabulary called active shooter. Well, I place before you the word active peace. Let's let that be our mantra, an active peace with all of those words you belt that word with. Let me digress a bit. I grew up in Kansas City, Kansas, the heartland of the Midwest, where our city is surrounded by farms and plain-spoken people. I have a special love and place in my heart for country music. I loved the pace of life there. To me, it seemed very deliberate and less rushed. Steve and I made a habit of listening to Garrison Keillor on Saturday afternoons and all the business at Lake Wobegon, and we'd take long bike rides out in the country. This did not define our life there. There was a lot more to it. But it was an especially peaceful part of my life there. When we moved here to DC, I received a really good introduction to DC by attending the funeral of Mary Franz. I didn't know her, but Steve took me there and I heard people speak of what a powerful woman she was, how she was not afraid to get up and speak truth to power. I saw a photo slide presentation of her speaking to remarkable people, people of power, and I thought, whoa, what kind of a lady was this? She's what I would call a peacemaker. And she had her own style and brand of peacemaking. When I came to DC, I also learned of other people who were powerful peacemakers, such as that of the activities of Eve and her protest and giving up her freedom, all in the name of speaking truth to power and bringing peace no more war. I heard a radio presentation of a couple of women, and I don't recall their names, but they, at the time that Martin Luther King was alive and Coretta was alive, they went to her house at the time that they were, the Ku Klux Klan was burning crosses in their yard. And they knew that Dr. King stood for peace, peaceful protests, and change. And so in the midst of all that, they stayed and protected Coretta and her children with guns on hand, all in the name of peace. What a juxtaposition that is. An active peace. I looked up the dictionary, what the definition was, what the definition is of peace. And I received four different thoughts. The first was freedom from disturbance, quiet, and tranquility. All of those things, a good portion of some of the things we talked about at the beginning, service, calmness, maybe meditation, serenity, tranquility. A second definition was freedom from or the cessation of war or violence. Freedom from violence, freedom from war. Or the ending of a war. The next was that peace is sometimes used as a greeting, as we just demonstrated, peace be to you, passing the peace of Christ to one another. And the last part of that definition was used as an order to remain silent. Well, that was intriguing. Used as an order to remain silent. If you'll go with me to Zechariah, our scripture for today covered the song of Zechariah when he was able to speak and praise God. But prior to that, there was a point in which Gabriel, the angel of God, came to Zechariah and told him Elizabeth would be with child and that she was going to bear a son. And this would all happen, this is happening in their old age, when they, I'm sure, are ready to maybe sleep or die, preparing for the end of their life. And when Gabriel told this to Zechariah, he did what I called, in the message, the Bible that I read, it says, "Are you sure about that?" It's paraphrased. And Gabriel said, "Because you have little faith, you will remain silent until the birth of your baby." And that is what happened. I'm missing a part of the story. He had gone into what was called the Holy of Holies. I'm sorry, let me back up one more time. Zechariah was a priest who was serving his people at that time by going into the temple of God and offering prayers for the people that were there around him. And this was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It was a big deal because many priests were not, there were so many priests that you would only have one opportunity, if that much, if you had that one, to be able to do this. And Zechariah, it had that opportunity. It was his time. And so when he went into the Holy of Holies to offer prayers and petitions for the people as well as for himself, This is where he encountered Gabriel. After that encounter, when Gabriel silenced him because of his unbelief, Gabriel came out of the temple, and the people knew something had happened to him because he was unable to speak. Steve and I talked a little bit about this verse, and we were sharing our ideas. And he asked, why do you think God would punish him that way? And I thought, well, this is interesting. I suppose it could be punishment. And so we went online and we scoured through many different commentaries to see what different folks said about it. And there was one commentary that I read in which and I'm sorry, the name slips me of this particular commentary, but what they said was, God silenced him at that moment because if Zechariah would have continued to speak, he would have continued to speak his disbelief or his unbelief. So it was an act of compassion for Zechariah. To quiet him until he could speak praise for the situation that was happening, until he could accept it in his heart. The interesting thing about this whole thing for me was, I was told to speak on the theme of peace. And there are so many sermons that come out of that story with Zechariah, but I'm not going to give those today. I'm going to look at his particular act of taking prayers and petitions to God for the people that were around him. In offering those prayers, what he did was he gave a special kind of peace to the people that were there. Because when you know that somebody has gone before God to pray, and God listens to that person, then you find a special comfort and peace in knowing that that person is there serving on your behalf. And so I'm struck by the act of giving peace to the people there by serving as a priest and taking their prayers and praying for them. That's the first thing I notice. I'm also aware that at that particular time, things were not peaceful in the place where they lived. There was a lot of turmoil, a lot of waiting for the coming of the Messiah, a lot of suffering for people. And people had heard that there was someone coming, but that someone had not yet arrived. So what that caused me to think about were the fact that out of our chaos, out of our silence, peace comes to us. And that is a place where many of us live with peace. We don't necessarily see peace around us, but we know that there is a peace happening. As I think about this, these words of peace, and I think about how peace existed in the lives of the people back in the days of Zechariah, I look at our lives today and how peace exists in our lives. What I know is that it's not very peaceful. This has been an exceptionally difficult year for me because of the passing of my mom. And that has raised all kinds of feelings within me, and I'm working through all of these things. And sometimes it feels like my head is going to explode because I have so many thoughts about so many things, and I cannot reconcile them all. But in the midst of that, there is a peace. And it's what has been called that peace that passes all understanding. I don't have to understand. I don't have to know. I just am at peace knowing that God hears my thoughts. He hears my ramblings, and he does with them what he needs to do. And I recognize that in your lives, we have so many responsibilities, so many things that we have to tend to with living folks and with folks that are dying. And it is not peaceful in our lives, but we can come to God knowing that God is there to bring us peace. And the most extraordinary piece of this story is that because of Jesus's entrance into our world, into our lives, many, many years ago, Jesus brought that light, that peace to earth in flesh. And Jesus walked our journey. He walked in the places where we feel sorrow, and he walked in the places where we just cannot comprehend what to do. And God understood through Jesus' walk, he understands where we are today. So because of this, because of Jesus' walking on this earth and knowing my turmoil and my inner frustration, I can be at peace because I know that Jesus hears me. And even more wonderful is the news of what we will celebrate a few months down the way in March, when we find that Jesus not only walked this earth, but Jesus also made himself accessible to us. So we no longer have to have a Zechariah go and pray for us. We can go and pray to God directly, and we can have a peace in knowing that God hears us. You know, when Zechariah was given his speech back at the birth of his son, and he told us what the son's name would be John, who we would know to be John the Baptist, then Zechariah began to praise God. And what I think is amazing is, what if this were you? Put yourself in his place. Your mouth is silent. No matter how much you open the words, form the vows, no sound comes out. And then all of a sudden, your speech is loosened and the words flow out. What would you say? I think this is where Zechariah got it. He said, it's not, are you sure? It's praise God. It's Mary's song. My soul proclaims the glory of God. That's all I could say. I don't think I could have any other words except for praise. Okay, I want you to go with me. What if the places where the lines of battle are drawn between Palestine and Israel, and everything grew silent in the midst of war. We didn't hear any machine gun firing. People are not yelling out charge or attack. But what if they were silent and then given back their speech? And what if the only thing that they could say were the praises of God. Stay with me. What if at the end of a barrel of a gun, of an active shooter, or a policeman, or a terrorist, there was an inability to pull the trigger? What if when the time came to pull that trigger, instead of hearing the boom of a gun, there was silence? And what if the officer and the officer or the terrorist or the person at war couldn't understand what was happening? And what if the victim couldn't understand or couldn't run, but they had to stay there in their silence? And then when their speech came back, what would be given to them is only the praise of God. I don't mean to demonize policemen at all, because there are some very good policemen out there who work hard within our community. What if the thoughts of racism and hatred and violence that are perpetuated in the minds of people who are ignorant and do not understand the concepts of love, what if those thoughts were silenced and they could not speak or think those? And then when they were given back the ability to think, it would only be the praise of God. So this is my hope. This is what I hope for, is that someday we will all silence the noises, the sounds, the things that have gotten in the way of us praising God. I pray that we'll be able to speak those things very loudly and people will hear them. It's our job to do that. It's an unrealistic job, isn't it? The last thought I want to share with you is a little story. This is a story by Susie Holbachy. It's part of a bigger story that she had called The Way Ahead. I'm reminded of the story of the teacher who tears to shreds a map of the world. And thinking it an impossible task, she gives it to a student to put together. Within 10 minutes, the boy is back. The task is completed. Astounded, the teacher asks him, "How did you do that?" The boy replies, "When I turned the pieces over, I found a torn-up man. I put them together, and when I looked at the other side, the world was whole again." Peace. May the peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Amen.
Amen.